From a South African point of view, we should forget about tariffs and counter-tariffs and sucking up to the big guys. We should go like, who wants to deal with us? Who likes our product and whose products do we like? You almost want to get into a barter mindset.
Mark, good morning. How's it?
Well, we woke up to a clear sky, absent the smoke that was here yesterday. There have been fires on the mountain again, Tim. Eh?
Okay. Yeah,
in Cape Town. I'm down in Cape Town in the beautiful Cape.
Right.
But the fires got quite close. And someone actually just asked me, why are there so many fires in Cape Town?
And why are there?
Well, my answer was, because people live around the mountain.
Right.
Whereas in Joburg, we live within the city. There's no mountains. There's no felt. There's no...
Oh, so it's the mountains' fault.
You know, where everyone lives, there's very... It's the mountains' fault. And I've always said the one way to deal with the traffic situation in Cape Town is to remove the mountain and fill up that part of the sea.
Take the mountain out of the equation.
And then we can, access all around. Anyway, so yeah, but it was quite clear and present danger here last night until all hours of the night. And I got to say this.
Right.
They set about sorting it out. The Cape Town services here are switched on. We had two helicopters working as a team, putting out the fire on the mountain. And we had them up here till all hours of the night. And it was good. You know, if I juxtaposition, I was reading this morning, you remember the Bree Street collapse in Johannesburg?
Yes.
When I say, do you remember it?
Yes.
It's because it took place quite a while ago, like in 2023, July.
Right. Yeah.
And it's now... And this is the remarkable part. Of course, nothing's been done, but we take that as a given.
Right.
What I didn't understand is nothing's been done, and they're three times over budget. Can you help me with that statement? it's been three times what they planned, but they've done nothing. I don't get it. Anyway, how are you, sir?
No, that is tricky. That is tricky, No, I'm fine. It is, in fact, Freedom Day, and you know what they say about freedom? Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose.
Nothing left to lose. Yes, yes. Famously. Go on, tell us who sang that.
I never understood that. I've never... Chris Christopherson sang it.
Yeah, Chris, he did.
I've never understood what on earth he was talking about. I sort of understand, you know, but anyway, it's very...
No, I completely understand it. I mean, can you imagine a world where you have no more want, where you are satisfied? I mean, I think most of our challenges as ordinary people in life is to get to a place where you accept and where it's okay.
Right.
And where you aren't clinging on.
Right.
You know, to substitutes for deep happiness. Tim, I mean, I'm losing it here. Okay, just bring me back. Bring me back. You know, I could actually start writing poetry.
Yes. I think what he was saying was that you're only truly free when you absolutely have nothing.
Yeah. Well, when you've nothing more to lose. No, sorry.
Oh, okay.
It's when you've got nothing more to lose. Okay. When you've got, in fact, I would argue philosophically that you have everything when you have nothing more to lose.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Yeah. No, but I mean, the point is that it was an anti-materialist statement from the kind of hippie era, sort of like, what are possessions, man? It's like possessions are like just, you know, they're just burdens.
I've spent my life trying to acquire such burdens.
Yes. My definition of
burden
freedom,
me with another
like
watch.
So many burdens that you don't know they're burdens anymore. Lots of random vision.
But I mean, there has been a lot of talk about Freedom Day. A lot of people have been saying, freedom, what freedom?
Right.
And it depends on your perspective, I guess. Yes. And there can be no question but that we haven't created the ideal, you know, consequence of freedom, have we?
No, I don't think so.
Have we? I mean, have we solved the pre-freedom issues? Listen, there's no debate but that freedom should prevail.
Right.
The question is, what do you do with it? What do you do with newfound freedom? Do you invert what were previously the captors into the captees? Or it's a phenomenal burden, since we're in that mode, freedom. When you're entirely free to choose, that's when the water level drops and the truth emerges. Tim, that's the truth of it, man.
So I was just looking at, I can give you some numbers here because I'm actually looking at this because I thought it was so interesting. So in 1994, the GDP per capita in South Africa, this is using, you know, inflation-free figures, was around about $9,000 per person per year. That was what the average South African was earning, right?
Okay.
And now it's gone up, sort of 30 years later, to around about 13,000.
I'm astonished by that figure.
So you can't say that freedom has brought no benefits. It's brought, yeah, you know, a sort of, you know, 30% increase in rules.
And that despite what's happened to the rand-dollar exchange rate. I'm astonished.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's interesting. But here's something that just puts all of that in perspective, right? So in 1994, yeah, the GDP per capita, this is on a PPP basis, right? Yeah. In China was $2,500.
Right.
Guess what it is now?
I don't know, 20,000.
Exactly, yeah. No, that's where you nailed it, 20,000.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's relative purchasing power that matters, you know, not exchange rates and not absolute numbers. I mean, that's the GDP per person is really just the introduction to what can you get for it, you know, I suppose. Yeah.
But you know what that tells me? I mean, first of all, you know, China's not a free society. You know, maybe we do slightly overrate freedom. Maybe freedom is, how should I put it, just another word for nothing left to lose.
You should write that down. Have you got a guitar? I know you have. Okay. I know you've got a guitar. So you should put that to music and see what happens. Eh? Yeah. No, I think that it's very interesting.
Yeah, no, it is interesting, isn't it?
Total freedom requires extraordinary leadership.
Yeah.
And so does its opposite. You know, total control requires extraordinary. And extraordinary is a word that I'm not saying is all virtuous. It's just outside the natural limit, okay, by definition. And so, you know, if you want to have a society like China, which has got, it seems to me, a pervasive current of purpose, which they achieve, you know, not always in the most admirable and free-thinking ways, and other countries have got what we would like to call total freedom as measured by democracy. And that doesn't always achieve. And it's because this thing that seems to happen to people who become popular and how that changes you or exposes you. Eh?
You know, the great thing about freedom is that you have freedom to make choices. The terrible thing about freedom is you have the choice to make the wrong ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You can freely choose to be sensible. You can also freely choose to be a bit of a dick. But in theory, freedom is better because you change track. You can sort of see that in South Africa because we have gone on the process of putting up taxes at a vast rate and then deciding not to.
And also, you know, who controls the purse? I mean, let me change tack a bit. You know, this whole VAT debacle and it deserves no lesser a description. In as much as, you know, the unraveling of, if I can call it that, of the VAT increase has been nothing more or less than a source of relative political power debates, it seems to me, in its wake. Right. And now there are questions about whether Enoch Godongwana will survive, and there are questions about who actually made it happen. And I've still got a video of all of those who stood up and cheered VAT, okay? Yes. And shouted and danced in our parliament, dancing around, cheering VAT. And they, many of them, are the same people who've now, you know, stopped it. It's expediency. It's expediency and impunity. I'm sorry, Tim, it just is. These politicians, for the most part, with some obvious great exceptions worldwide and are expedient. And they're vote seekers. Now, there's a difference between having the freedom to choose who you like and becoming a vote seeker.
Right.
Is there?
You could say that the opposite. You could say that the whole VAT debacle is the end of impunity. It's the end of the ANC making up its mind on its own.
I take that point.
Yeah. I take a lot of hope from this, how this has all transpired, because it doesn't seem now, I mean, you know, for a moment there, I thought that the GNU was, you know, toast, that it was pushing up daisies. Yeah. But now it seems like, in a sort of uncomfortable kind of way, it'll continue, you know. But I think that's the right thing to do in these circumstances. You know, we have to make choices. We have to voluntarily make choices to work together despite each other. That's the challenge that has been put in front of South Africa for decades now. And we have demonstrated that basically we can't accept when we can.
Yeah.
and the VAT situation sort of just underlines all that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, whether or not that's the most efficient form of government, it does create some balance, and it does create all of these interesting things. I would be curious as to what would happen if we had a general election today. But let me not speculate.
Right. I can tell you what the polls say, because there has been some polling on it, you know, not enough to convince me, you know, but what it appears to show is that the ANC is continuing to lose support, but not in great gobs. People don't want the sort of debate between the parties to go on. They just find it kind of a little bit boring, which is completely understandable.
Yeah, absolutely. Enough.
And the polls are supported by the by-election results. And the by-election results show the DA sort of holding where it is, the ANC slipping a bit. And actually, the IFP is the big winner from the new dispensation. So, you know, we continue. Yeah. Onwards. Yeah.
Onwards and forwards. Now, I want to talk about, you know, this. Well, first of all, we're finishing on popularity. Donald Trump has got the lowest rating in the last 80 years on his 100 days.
I know.
The lowest in the last 80 years. And he's out there doing all sorts of wild things, which one could argue is what people voted for, right? They voted for his stuff. And it wasn't like in the campaign he was a different guy to what he is today, okay? He is the same guy.
Right.
And they voted for it. And here's what I think is happening.
Okay.
And I want to talk about tariffs a bit and counter tariffs and all these propositions. You know, China, for example, has now just increased vastly their investment in payment systems. And why is that? Because they've decided enough of this dependency on, you know, on the Western world and their other systems. And why don't we do it ourselves? And there are two ways that you go if someone, you know, attacks you or forces you out of the market. You either go and create your own market or you die. Okay.
Right.
And I think rather than fight the big guy in the room, people are starting to go like, well, why do we have to deal with you? Let's go and deal with someone who wants to deal with us. And I would even argue that from a South African point of view, we should forget about this whole debate about tariffs and counter tariffs and all these kinds of things and sucking up to the big guys. We should go like, who wants to deal with us? Who likes us?
Yes. Okay.
Who likes our products and whose products do we like? You almost want to get into a barter mindset and then translate that into an efficient, you know, economic mindset. But why don't we gather differently than we've gathered in the past? Why don't we move on from West versus East? Why don't we move on from, you know, capitalism versus socialism? Why don't we move on into a new mindset which has been driven by very few individuals who either make war traditionally or make war economically in the name of their own self-preservation and popularity.
Excellent. What we need in this situation is a fabulous new pope. No, maybe we don't. Maybe we need leaders who really don't want to be there. Aren't they the best kind of leader who are kind of reluctant and really want to stay at home?
Maybe all of this fighting starts lowering the water to the point where the truth emerges and we have to resort to the principles of proper trade. I don't know, Tim.
Yes.
This is all getting a bit beyond me. I went to a government school, man. Yeah.
Kind of related question in a way, talking about things that are not as popular as they were.
Mm.
So you know the Magnificent Seven, right?
Are we talking cowboys or countries here?
Well, it's sort of like because of the movies, you know, the Magnificent Seven. Which
are, yeah.
There's a whole series of movies from different nations on the Seven Magnificent. Yeah, yeah. That is. So that's where the word came from. And then they chose, because we have to have words for these things because they, you know, make it simpler for us to understand. They have the Magnificent Seven stocks, which are Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, and Nvidia, and Tesla, right? What we know is that they all down.
Right. Yesterday. Right. Yesterday. Yeah.
What I didn't know is the consequence of them being down is that total they have lost $2.5 trillion in market value. I mean, that is incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible, but the test is not whether it's a big number, but from whence it came. What's the starting point, right? Have they come back to what one might describe in this abnormal world as normal ratings, or were they overpriced in the first? I mean, my question is, and there's no answer that I can find to this, is what is true value anymore? How do you buy stocks anymore?
Right. Isn't the simple rule, don't get caught up in, you know, waves of joy or anger, you know, or frustration or irritation, you know, sort of hedge your bets and be calm. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Think long term. Isn't that the easy, simple way to deal with?
Yeah. And if you look at the markets, they have scant regard, it seems to me, for even the momentous things that have happened in the last 100 days.
Yeah.
They sort of get a bit knocked from side to side, but then they sort of resort to their true colors, so to speak.
Yes.
And they carry on because there's a weight of funds that must find a home.
Okay? Yes.
So what happens is, I think, is that you should just keep reconsidering the cost of capital as a business person, as a developer, as anything. And you should go like, well, not what's the market price for something, but what is the cost of capital? And is that at a point where I should be investing in a real business proposition? Because I don't know anyone, well, I haven't asked a lot of people, but who don't wish they'd got into the NVIDIA thing. And I don't know anyone either who got in late that's very happy about it. You know? And so stop it. Stop following the speculative crowd.
Yes.
And go to the fundamentals. Have you got a good business model? Or is the company that you're investing in got a good business economic model that makes sense in terms of its mixture of growth and annuity income?
Right.
And what is its cost of capital?
Right.
And then you can close your eyes, and when you find three or four of those, and you can invest. You have to ignore the noise, as you were saying.
Yeah. Just to kind of back up what you were saying, Meta, or Facebook as we know it, is now trading at a multiple of 21 times earnings.
Is that historic or prospective?
No, prospective. Prospective. Yeah. Okay. And that's almost exactly the same as the S&P 500 on average. In a sense, you could have made a lot of money if you had bought Meta, or you could have just bought the S&P 500 and you'd be in the same position.
Well, you know.
Well, you'd be in the same position now. You might not have, depending on when you bought, of course.
The markets, the collective wisdom or the collective stupidity of the markets prevails from time to time. And you're but a pawn unless you find something outside of that stream and just put your head down. And I still marvel, without knowing the details, about Capitec. And you know, everyone says it's like a wow, it's just arrived. It hasn't just arrived. It started 25 years ago based on a few fundamental drivers about what they thought the future of banking might look like in South Africa.
Yes.
And if you go back to all of these very successful businesses, they do take time and they do have founding statements and raison d'etre which are valid forever. You see, we know everything here, Tim, and I don't know what, you know.
I know. Why don't they give us a job?
We solved the whole fucking world here. Okay. Yes. As we sit here on Freedom Day.
Freedom to solve the world's problems in 15 minutes. Here. Nothing left
to lose. Nothing left to lose. Yeah.
Can I just quickly make one point about the Magnificent Seven? Because the stock that has dropped the most is, of course, Tesla. We all know.
Tesla.
Yeah. There was an interesting stat out this week, which I thought, you know, which sort of points the way. And that is that for the first time, VW electric car sales in Germany outnumber Tesla sales. Isn't that interesting? So basically the big monolith that could never catch up has caught up.
I mean, there's a classic example of fundamentals prevailing over time. You know, stick to your knitting and make your cars and so on. And I think Elon Musk made a huge personal
mistake
by switching from being an extraordinary foresightful businessman, if there's such a word, to wanting political power and popularity. And it was clear from almost the second day that thing was going to have a limited shelf life. And its shelf life has just expired. Yeah. And not only is he going to be dropped out of the White House, but he's going to be, you know, he's lost, like, I don't know how many hundreds of billions or whatever it is. And more enduringly, he's lost, I imagine, a huge piece of his following when he was seeking to achieve the opposite.
I know. It's funny. Great lesson in sticking with what you're good at.
Yeah, say what you do. And if you seek popularity, you will ultimately end without it.
Can I just make one last point in closing, because I just think it was so interesting. And this is my number for the day, and my number is 20. So why is the number 20 interesting or important, Mark?
Tim, it's the least exciting number I've ever heard you utter, and I don't know. Okay.
So, okay, in the Chinese Beijing half marathon,
yes,
there were 20 robots,
yes,
participated. 20 humanoid robots participated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and how'd they do? Not well.
Six finished.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And not in no, great
no,
not time.
No, right? Not in great time. But still, I mean, you know, it is. They cheered when they went over the lines as well, which I thought was very cute.
Okay, good. All right. Well, we're finishing another short week this week, and then we're back to work. I mean, April is,
crazy,
depending on your viewpoint, blessed or fraught with too many bloody holidays, man.
All right.
Cheers now.
Cheers now. Bye.